The tie-breaking vote cast by Vice President Cheney was the most visible role played by the Bush administration in last night's tax cut drama, but not the only one. The focus on the dividend tax had originated at the White House months ago, and it was not an easy sale on Capitol Hill, even among Republicans. Joining me now is NPR White House correspondent Don Gagne. Good morning, Don.
Good morning.
Where did this devotion to eliminating the tax on dividends come from?
The architect of this plan, interestingly enough, is an administration official who is no longer part of the administration. It's the former chairman of President Bush's Council of Economic Advisors, a gentleman named Glenn Hubbard. He resigned a couple of months back to take a teaching job. But it was his strong belief, and this is a point made by the president in speech after speech on this topic, that getting rid of taxes on dividends is the best way to rev up the market and bring a return of the bull market. Because people will, the theory goes, have more money to invest, be more likely to invest, and that will provide corporations with the cash to do all sorts of things. Most notably, the president predicts, create jobs. It's also worth noting, Bob, that since this proposal came up last year, there has been a big shakeup in the president's economic team. Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill is gone. He was never seen as being enthusiastic enough on tax cuts. He's been replaced. And Lawrence Lindsay, another of the president's top in-house economic advisors, has been replaced.
And the president was not satisfied with putting this idea forward and letting the Congress work its will?
If you look at the miles he's racked up on Air Force One promoting his plan, he knew he had obstacles to overcome in Congress, especially with the position of some moderate Republicans who said they couldn't support a plan as large as the one he wanted because of fears about the budget deficit. So the president figured with the Senate as evenly divided as it is, he needed to win over just a couple of swing votes, perhaps from Democrats. He did, of course, spend most of his time for a lengthy period earlier this year on Iraq. But once Baghdad fell, he stepped up the hardcore promotion of the tax cut, and in the past couple of weeks has traveled to, this is just a partial list, but he's been to Ohio and Missouri and New Mexico and Indiana and Nebraska and other places where he thought there might be a senator to be swayed. It's a familiar pattern for this White House. It's the same kind of promotion and heavy travel schedule we saw in 2001 back when he was promoting his first tax cut.
So now that the Senate's gone along, even if reluctantly, is the dividend tax cut a done deal?
Not quite. The House passed a different kind of tax cut last week. It's bigger than the one passed last night in the Senate. It's $550 billion over 10 years, but it's also different in many of its details. It does not eliminate that dividend tax. It takes dividends and capital gains and lowers the top rate on those investment earnings to 15%. So it's not that original Glenn Hubbard plan, but the House plan is there for a full 10 years, and the White House says that gives investors more chance to plan. The House likes that idea better, but they need to work out these differences over the next time period coming up.
Anything here for people who don't have a lot of dividends or capital gains?
There is a child tax credit. It goes up from $600 to $1,000 per child. There are accelerated rate cuts, some of those things that were to be phased in over the next 10 years or so, seven years actually, will be phased in more quickly. But the criticism does remain, and we'll hear much more of this in the months ahead, that the bulk of the benefits go to the wealthiest Americans. And the question also remains what impact this will have in terms of job creation.
NPR White House correspondent Don Gagne.